When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Episode 19 of This Is Us 2 is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. It's the best place to discover new makeup and uncover your confidence as a woman. So head on over to MinuteWithMary.com, or better yet, search the hashtag MinuteWithMary on Facebook to start the road to a new you.
What is it that I love about you now? So I'm going to start with the obvious. I love the mother that you are. I love that you are still the most beautiful woman in any room, and that you laugh with your entire face. I love that you dance funny and not sexy, which makes it even sexier. But most of all, I love that you are still the same woman who all those years ago ran out of a blind date because she simply had to see. You're not just my great love story, Rebecca. You were my big break.
Thank you. Thank you.
And our love story, I know it may not feel like it right now, but baby.
Hi.
Hi. I promise you, it's just getting started.
Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast all about the show This Is Us on NBC, so sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hi, everyone, and welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I may or may not have cried just a little. Just a tad.
Just like you do in every episode of This Is Us, right?
Well, it started more towards the end for me, but yes, that final monologue with Jack, forget about
all
it.
All the feels, all the tears, all the tissues.
All the shaman.
Or, yeah, in our household, it's all the shaman toilet paper because we don't buy real tissues.
We only use that toilet paper. That's how it goes. Because we're just too cheap.
Okay.
What's the point? You know, watching this episode, there was a lot going on in this episode, and what stood out to me was the end, when Jack is going up to Rebecca, and she's actually just watching her sing, and all I could think about is actually the time that I met my gorgeous wife sitting across the way from me.
We had
met on Match.com.
And through those people, when it was creepy.
I know. And I think some of you guys already know this story. I think we might have already talked about it a little bit. But what I did want to say was, the moment I met my wife, who at the time was just some lady.
Running 20 minutes late to our first date because I wasn't going to pay for parking.
Right. yeah, that was bad.
Sorry.
But I remember just seeing her and stopping dead in my tracks. Just like, whoa, like, wow, that person exists. There's a person out there that looks like this and acts like this, and she's actually willing to commiserate with me, like some jabroni who's working 80 hours at a donut shop.
You smelled like maple frosting.
I did.
It was
I
so
did.
Good.
And we were at a bar, and she may or may not have gotten a little inebriated that night after drinking one too many Guinness.
Yep.
But for some reason, she wanted to keep talking to me, and I remember thinking, "This is it. This is my life is over as I knew it. I'm done. I'm out.
Sign me up for the Mary train.
I'm out on every other woman on this planet." And it all happened pretty instantly. And I know it sounds corny, and I know It doesn't sound real. I know it sounds like a stupid love story like you would see on This Is Us.
Okay.
But I'm here to tell you that it's true. I fell madly in love with my wife the instant I saw her. And the second I saw her face, the world just stopped. It all stopped. And I was happy about that.
All right, Blake, so tell me a little bit about the details of this episode. Break it down.
So the title was Moonshadow. Now, this one is actually a little bit more complicated than the others.
Unlike the other ones that are like so in your face, it makes sense.
Moonshadow was actually the song that Mandy Moore or Rebecca was singing at the end of the episode. And it's actually a cover from the original Cat Stevens version. And Mandy Moore actually sang this song in her real music career in 2003 on her fourth album.
What else was on this album?
Coverage.
Was it the same one as Candy? You know that one that like she's like driving in the car with her girlfriends?
Not at all. I wasn't a big Mandy Moore guy. I was more of a Britney guy.
Britney was sexy. Mandy Moore was like, I'm the girl next door singing about candy.
No, Britney was where I was at.
Okay. Nonetheless, so this was actually Mandy Moore's fourth album.
This was her fourth album, Coverage. Okay. So if you didn't want to go back there and listen to it, you know.
Go knock yourself out, 2003.
Have some fun at it. And it's actually, I really like it because it's giving new context as to why she actually has the moon necklace that Jack gave her earlier on in the season. And I love the final lines of this song, which is, did it take long to find me? I asked the faithful light. Did it take long to find me? Are you going to stay the night? And it just, it rhymes so well with what is happening on screen. Mm-hmm. Both of them seeing each other and
clicking. It's just like magnetized.
Right. So that was that. The director was Ken Olin, who has directed The Big Three, The Big Day, Jack Pearson's son. And now also this. And Ken Olin, he's been bringing it. I said it in Jack Pearson's son. I was a big fan.
Yep.
And he brought it even further. And I'll get into why. And the writer was the show creator. And at this moment in time, Dan Fogelman, who actually right before this episode gave up the show running duties of This Is Us 2.
Why?
Because he gave it to Isaac Aptaker and Elizabeth Berger.
So much about this show. I can't even handle it. You're wicked smart.
It's because I'm Batman. So, Dan Fogelman wrote it, and he was the guy behind the episodes of Pilot, The Big Three, Kyle, The Pool, The Big Day, and our personal favorite, Memphis.
All the ones that made you cry many tears.
That's right.
All the Charmin.
Right. Every single Charmin there ever was.
So Lemonade rating. For those of you who have, this is your first time tuning into This Is Us 2, we rate each episode based upon a scale of lemonades, and it's a 1 to 5. So 5 being the best, 1 being what was that? Blake, what was your rating for this episode?
I can't give a rating. You want to know why?
Tell me.
If I could give a rating, it'd be like your relationship status on Facebook.
It's
complicated.
Really?
It's very complicated for this episode. And the reason why that is because there was so much to love and there's just so much to hate. That's true. And I was like severely frustrated by this episode and how disingenuous it was. And it's more of like a product of the television show, I think, in general. And there were so many things that I think the show wanted to do, and it didn't have a clear path. It didn't have a clear narrative, and I feel like because of that, it was muddled, and it didn't know what it wanted to do. But the things that it did well, it did very, very, very well.
Yes,
the things that it did really crappy, it did really crappy.
Well, so I'm disagreeing. I'm giving it a 4.6, which is still low on the Mary scale, seeing as how I throw fives at everything. You get a five. I'm like Oprah. Every episode gets a 5. I agree. There were a couple of things in it that just didn't sit incredibly well with me, but give me some young Jack, some young Rebecca. Mandy Moore singing in an episode automatically bumps it up, and seeing the realness of this relationship made it stellar. So I'm giving it a 4.6.
Okay. And what do you got for your GBG?
GBG.
Your good, bad, great.
My good, bad, great. So my good for this episode was, how did we not know until now that Jack is a Vietnam vet? Like, holy smokes.
Yeah, I don't think that we did know.
No, we didn't. And it just gave this whole extra layer where, for those of you who don't know, my mom's a vet. And I have like this exorbitant appreciation and love, and to know the hardships that these people come through, when, especially when they come back from war, just trying to get a job. So there he is, just trying to fix his neighbor's car. She's giving him measly money and he's accepting it. And you don't know what he's seen, what he went through in Vietnam. And granted, he said, you know, I had it easier than most. I was a mechanic. But you know that he saw some stuff. So it just added this layer and this extra backstory that now, as I know Jack has this in him and his past, it's added an awesome layer that I really appreciate that the show threw in, because it was also so timely that men of his age would have been in the war.
Sure, yeah.
My bad was that Jack had to leave at the end of the episode. I get it. I get they had this epic fight. I get that he was drinking and he'd been keeping it from Rebecca, and this is a huge promise that he broke, and that they have some major things to work out. Just me, I'm just sad that he left, and that's how the episode left. You know, whatevs. For this finale of season one, for this couple that we love to now be separated, I get it. Mm-hmm. But it just made me sad that that's how we had to leave for season one. And then my great, oh, goodness. How Jack does leave, what he says when he leaves about how they are showing their kids that they've done the best that they can, because, you know, Rebecca was nervous. So what are we going to tell the kids when they come home and you're gone? And he says, we're going to tell them that we've done the best we can and that we're real people, and that he goes on and on about the things that he does love about her and still leaves. I mean, part of me was like, Rebecca, jump up and grab that man and give him a big old kiss. And yet they both know. I mean, their truth is that they have a lot of stuff to work through.
Sure.
But I love that Jack was able to leave saying, yes, we're having this fight. We're having this disagreement. We've got some things to work through. But I love you. And I think that it's great that we can tell our kids that we can fight and that we're real humans. And that's one of the things that I love about this show, is that it is so real and this does happen. And it's important for people to show their children, we can have disagreements, we cannot get along, and we can still love on each other.
Yeah.
So that was my great. How about you?
My good was the theme of rebirth. There is a ton of that in this episode. It's even kind of pointed very quickly to what they're trying to accomplish when Jack says this is just the beginning, mm-hmm, at the end, mm-hmm, of the episode. And it is somewhat of a rebirth for Kate and Jack. You know, come on, Kate and Jack.
What show are you watching?
We have to go back, Kate.
No, it's for Rebecca and Jack. Mm-hmm. As he says, their relationship is going to start anew after this.
Yeah.
But more importantly, it's a rebirth for all of the other characters. For Randall, he's talking about a rebirth of his own family life, adopting a baby,
yes,
at the end. Kate has a rebirth by furthering her relationship with Toby, going back to LA, mm-hmm, and also wanting to be a singer. And then we also have Kevin, who has a rebirth.
Said yes to Ron Howard.
He has a rebirth with his girlfriend and ex-wife. But more importantly, he decides, I'm going to go hang out with Ron Howard a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't necessarily know if that relationship with Sophie is going to last.
Correct.
History tells us it's probably not going to. But his life is being reborn. Just as when Jack was 36, his life was, mm-hmm, he had a rebirth for his own family. What made him a man, what made him his own little soul, his saintly soul, they are now all experiencing at the same age.
Yep.
So I think it's fantastic that the show did that. It's one of the things, again, that it did very well. What it did do very poorly,
tell me what you didn't like.
Which is the bad. Listen, I was not a fan of the poker game. Not a fan, okay? It seemed effing ridiculous. But people do crazy things and do desperate stuff all the time, mm-hmm, especially as Jack is trying desperately to get himself and his mother away from his dad. I can at least make an excuse for that. I can.
Okay.
I can.
Yeah.
Because people do crazy things all the time, and especially when they're desperate. What I cannot make an excuse for is the stupid attempt to rob the bar. I.
What?
There is zero excuse for that.
Really?
Yes. And I will tell you exactly why,
okay,
I hate it. Because it's implausible, and it's very stupid on Jack's part, because he was just threatened with his life if he ever came back and did that. And these guys are unsavory dudes. Whatever. But just on a thematic level and on a story level, I don't want to try and write a better show. I don't. That's not my gig. But I will tell you what I would have done. The smarter choice would have had to been to show Jack's beginnings of alcoholism. Mm. And yes, go to the poker game, lose, and realize that, no, not all the good guys always win. That's not the game. And then having his problems start to arise because of that. That being alcoholism, just like his dad. He's slowly becoming his father.
I liked that he was about to do something so out of his character, like completely not Jack, that he would rob a bar. And in that moment, when he was going to go down a path that was so unlike him, that is when he saw Rebecca, and that's what
I'm getting. And that's what I'm getting at. Because remember, at the poker table, he's drinking club soda.
Yes.
He's always saying, I'm trying to do the right thing. I mm-hmm. just want to do the right thing. And if you saw that beginnings of alcoholism, instead of him being like, ugh, but like maybe having a drink or two too many at the bar and like really savoring it, this does a couple of different things. It would have legitimized his claim to Rebecca that his alcoholism is a legit thing mm-hmm. later on when he fights Rebecca about it, and that it's part of his DNA. But also, it makes him missing that date because he was too concerned with being at the bar.
Okay.
And he's too concerned with drinking. And the only thing that helped him pull himself out of his own self-loathing was Rebecca. So thematically, it works. Rebecca pulling him out of that self-loathing.
You just want to rewrite that scene,
yeah. I think that whole freaking bar, stupid, oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, people do stupid things.
Yes, and I'm fine with that. I'm totally down with that, but...
That was just one too many for you.
That was...
Okay, what was your great?
The great. It's a tie, actually.
Oh, that's nice for a finale.
The very simple one is the wink. The wink at the end of the episode that Jack has after he gives the whole monologue that we played here at the beginning mm-hmm. of our episode. And, you know, I don't know if it was scripted. I don't know if it was unscripted. I just don't know. But
people
the way
need to weigh in. Because I bet that's been asked.
Right. But the way that Milo plays it and the way that it comes off, it's just very special. Like mm-hmm. he gives this whole thing and Rebecca is left wordless.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else you can do. And how do you just leave without doing something? And that wink is very special. But the real great,
okay.
the spectacular, the thing that took me out of my seat.
Tell me.
Was the fight. Oh, that fight between the long, it's a whole long cut, meaning mm-hmm. like it starts from point A and then there are no cuts. There are no second takes. There are nothing. It just begins and you continue to go the whole way until that scene is done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a big thing. Like if you recall, if you ever watched Goodfellas, you know, it starts the big long cut of Goodfellas starts at Ray Liotta at the car.
I haven't watched it in a long time.
And it goes all the way through the kitchen scene, and then he ends up with the table and blah. It's okay. a very complicated thing. It's
okay.
easier to do with two people, but it's very complicated and it's very hard.
Okay.
And it's special because, oh, man, the camera movement in that scene, and this is where Ken Olin kills it. The camera doesn't just stay in one spot. It moves. It weaves in between Milo and Mandy each time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time it turns, it comes in. One person comes in the frame. Another person walks out. Then it turns around and swirls back to the other person. And the other person that was in the frame is now out. And then they both come back in together. But the most important part about it is actually being able to act that out. Having that kind of anger, man, they killed it. It wasn't what they were fighting about. I mean, you know, it is what it
yeah,
is. We
important.
All know what they
yeah.
were fighting about. But it was the way that they fought. I mean, they have to be believable as a married couple. They have
Correct.
To be very happy, lovey. We've seen it. We saw the bathroom scene with
yes.
all the lights. It was cute. Oh my God, my
Sign
hat.
Sign me up.
You know, pumping, okay?
Yes.
But to have those two go at it the way that they did, and she's looking at Jack, Rebecca, and she's going, that's ridiculous. that's face... You only get that face when things go really awry.
You know,
and all you married people, you all know what I'm talking about.
Yes, and I love how they're just yelling over one another. I really wished that we had watched it with subtitles because they were both saying things and I would have to sit there and say, who do I want to listen to? Whose side am I on for this? I listened mostly to Jack because you're right. Rebecca had the crazy eyes going on.
Right.
But it was so real. That's what happens when you get that heated. And I think, you know, that's what you're trying to say, is that those actors, they were able to make you feel like you were so awkwardly watching, like you were there, a real fight.
Like you wanted to just kind of like, I wanted to crawl out of my skin, because I was looking at Mary and I was like, we've had one of these fights before.
We've had a That's when I say that I turn into the that crazy thing from Ghostbusters, you know, when he's like, I'm the gatekeeper, and really it's Zool. I'm like Zool. Rah, 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 rah. Like, well, yeah, when I call my friends and I was like, I had a Zool fight last night.
Yeah, things go flying. And
usually tissues. Suddenly, but you don't have any more.
Suddenly,
can't fight.
Suddenly Sigourney Weaver shows up and you know, she's knocking on the door.
Not good. Not good. No Zool fights recently.
So, yeah. And the thing I also really appreciate about it, too, was the fact that it ended. And it ended the way that it did. The actual fight. They didn't want to hurt each other, but they said things that cannot be unsaid, and they recognize it.
Yes.
And it's just like, I'm going to bed, and don't come up. Don't follow me.
Except or just she let opens me do her it. Door,
yeah.
And he's not there that next morning. Oh, but you're right. That fight was amazing.
Was incredible. That was incredible filmmaking. It was just the camera movement, the actors, all of it. That just spectacular.
Finale worthy fight.
Yes, it was
for sure.
So, what do you got, my love? How do you want to handle this bad
boy? Well, let's go from like the smallest things going on in this finale, and then go back up to Jack and Rebecca, who really were kind of the big deal. So, let's just start off with Kate and Toby, who had the most boring plot line of the finale. Sorry, Kate, you had your moment in Drumming Camp.
Yeah, that's the end of it.
Yeah, no, but we've had a lot of Kate time, and we've had a lot of breakthroughs with Kate this season. So for her to be back in LA with Toby and to say, I want to be a singer, I'm happy that Kate is having some career direction. I still don't understand how these people can financially survive. Mm-hmm. Okay, they've been traveling back and forth around the country, going to camps, doing their thing, and now she wants to be a singer. Not a lucrative business. Good luck, Kate. I don't know where all this money's coming from, but that I feel like done, period. Anything you want to add about Kate and Toby?
I got a wicked hot take.
Tell me.
Wait, this take is on, it's like burning.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited.
It's on fire.
Tell me, all as right. I take a sip from my Dunkin' iced coffee.
I know. This podcast brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts and cookie dough flavoring.
How did you know? Did you sip it?
No, I just, I'm able to read the labeling.
Oh.
There you go.
I thought you were psychic for a second.
I told you, I'm Batman.
Yes, you are. Okay.
Remember how Kate said, it's my fault that Jack died?
Yes.
You know?
How did I not forget that? Yes.
I know. It's a sneaky scene here, and I'm going to say this. The hot take is this. What happened as Kate was saying this, and the way that it was edited and how it all came down?
Was she unpacking? Were they moving in together?
No. Oh, what? What Kate said as it was edited last episode, remember how Jack was, it was my fault. None of this, what we just saw in the finale or Jack drinking or whatever, none of it has to do with his death. Nothing. Not one ounce. And because the show, except for the fact that it set you up for it to possibly show you that Jack was dying in the season finale, the show has always been very truthful with you.
Yes.
It has always told you exactly what it was. It has never lied.
Correct.
Except for this one big thing. But I like what happens here. And the sneaky scene is that, and I don't think people look too closely into this. I think it's possible that their marriage, both Jack and Rebecca is over. And will Jack die next season? Perhaps. And is it possible that Jack dies? Because
I think he has to die next season. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say this, but come on.
All right. Well, here we go. Unlike Jack, who wanted to be nothing like his father, Kate has, looking at the picture of Rebecca wanting to be a singer, all she wants to kind of do is be like the woman that Jack loved so much, which is her mother. You know, skinny and beautiful. And now she's decided to take up singing.
She's Mandy Moore. I mean, how can one compare?
And what Jack thinks is small in terms of the kids' reactions, I think will be much bigger. And meaning, Rebecca asks Jack what they're going to tell the kids. And Jack says, The kids are going to be fine. We've shown them a healthy marriage. This is just going to be a blip on their radar years from now, where their parents back. But at the end of the day, what happens to them and how they turn out, it's bigger than us. Mm-hmm. So this is just going to be a blip. What happens in Kate's life isn't going to really matter. What happens here isn't going to matter in Kate's life.
Okay.
Something else is going to happen later on that Kate will think is her fault. That will cause
not the fight. Okay.
Not the fight, not the drinking and driving, none of that.
Okay.
Not, hey, Dad, go to Cleveland.
Yeah.
None of that. What will be a problem is something that Kate thinks she does that will eventually kill Jack.
Okay.
And that's why I'm saying the show is telling you right up front, this is just a blip. This isn't a big deal. Our story is just beginning.
Look at that witty show getting super deep.
That's what I feel like.
Okay.
So that's my hot take, my blazing hot take.
So our next minor storyline, mm-hmm. Randall wants to adopt a baby.
Yeah.
I'm really kind of excited about this. I mean, they've talked about babies twice this season, mm-hmm. went back when Beth thought she was pregnant and Randall wrapped his mind around it. And now, again, he's talking about adding a child into their family. I think they're great parents. I think the girls would have a blast with the baby.
Yep.
I'm interested to see how Beth feels about this because I feel like Beth might want to have some Beth time, and taking care of a baby might be a lot. Unless, hey, Randall's unemployed, so maybe Randall will be a stay-at-home dad.
Sure.
That's what he wants to do. So I'm pretty excited about this. I feel like they've brought it up twice, so it wouldn't be odd if they do end up having a child in their life.
And it kind of goes back to when they thought that Beth was pregnant.
Correct, exactly. Yeah.
So like I think that plays well.
Yeah.
I think that plays well in trying to bring somebody in upon William's death to mm-hmm. to try to heal everybody. I think that's
we did that with a cat.
Yes,
our cat
did.
Got hit by a car, devastated me. And then a couple of days later we got Lumos.
Lumos the cat.
You're a wizard. You're a wizard, Harry. I'll just do all your sound effects for you. So I'm on board with that for happening for season two. And then we have, of course, Kevin. Kevin, who is with Sophie, saying, I moved to New York for you. I'm here. And then he gets the call from Ron Howard. And we end up seeing in this episode that he ends up jumping in the car and he is going to go meet with Ron Howard. And you see Sophie kind of like shake her head at the ending. So I don't think this bodes well for them. I don't know what's going to happen, but it might just be Kevin's cycle of that, you know, he's putting his career in front of this woman that he thinks is his one true love.
Right. And that's why when I saw her, I was like, there's no way she is making it. There's no way. There's too many things happening.
I have hope.
And it just so happens, of course, that he gets the call from Ron Howard. And it just so happens that Ron Howard sees the thing. It's all convenient. But I don't think I think she'll be there for like the first few episodes, but after that, she's gone
later,
the way
Sophie.
Of Olivia and
Sloane.
And Sloane, there
I
got, you go.
See, you don't even remember these girls' names. It's how
well, it's random girl number one and random girl number two. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
And, you know, last episode, we talked a lot about the show being disingenuous.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get your opinion on that, because did you think after watching this episode that the show was in fact disingenuous with the way that it edited the ending of the penultimate and what they actually accomplished in the finale?
Yes.
Okay, why?
Well, had they made the penultimate episode with Kate saying, my dad died and it was my fault, and then you see Jack drunk driving to go talk to his wife mm-hmm. at the prompting of his daughter, I almost felt like that could have been the season finale. We said it last episode. That could have been the season one finale, this major cliffhanger. Yep. Oh no, is he going to drive drunk? And then for us to have this episode, which was not as emotionally reeling for me as Memphis was, or as High Charge. I mean, the flight was amazing. The fight is what saved this episode.
Oh, 100%.
And having these characters meet was amazing because we've been in love with Jack and Rebecca this entire season. To see how they met was so beautiful. To see who the characters were before they found each other was great. But it was just kind of anticlimactic. And then when you saw how much Jack actually was drinking in that car, that it wasn't that he was just at a bar drinking and drank a lot, that he actively drank like a 6-pack of beers while driving and still somehow managed to get to this place 2 hours away, blows my mind. So it just kind of made me feel a little disappointed in how they left the penultimate episode, because in my opinion, A man of, I don't know. How many drinks can a person honestly have and still drive 2 hours?
Oh, nope. You wouldn't have been able to drive after our first meeting.
I know. But exactly. But that's, I mean, I.
That's why we stayed out till 4 a.m. So you could sober up.
In Water Place Park.
Get the classy broad to sober up at the park in the middle of the city.
I was hungry and I just drank too much Guinness. I should have eaten something. But this is what I'm getting at. It just, I didn't like how the episode left and I didn't like how it resolved necessarily. I mean, obviously he acted very drunk in this episode, but in my opinion, the amount that he was drinking was out of control. I don't think he should have been able actually to drive, but who knows?
What would you do if I had shown up at your gig the way that happened and I was boozing pretty heavy, but some guy that your bandmate, you know, tries to put the move on you.
What would I have done?
And I punched the guy out. Yes. How would you have reacted the same way that Rebecca did?
Of course. Okay. What do you mean? Like leaving the gig?
Well, leaving the gig and then having this big fight at the end and yada yada. Yep. It'd be a thing.
It would have been a thing. Yep.
But
yep.
I'm there. Yep.
I would have done exactly what Rebecca did.
Okay.
Complete to going to bed, wearing my pretty little sateen robe and slippers the next morning, coming down. You'll get your butt out of this house. I would have done the same thing. 100%. I sat there and I was giving her snaps. Like, get that man out. That lying drunk. Get him out to have time out. But go have time out with Mickey.
He's protecting her virtue.
He was drunk.
Well, yes, but still.
No, the bigger issue was his drinking and his lying and hiding about the drinking. The virtue thing is the reason
Is it a lie? Is he hiding it, or was he just not saying anything?
It was a lie. Okay. He promised her he wouldn't drink anymore.
Okay.
And he did. So he broke that promise and he's been hiding it from her. Oh heck, nope. You're out. You're in timeout with Miggy.
With Miggy. Miggy the mailman.
Yeah, sorry. I would have done the same thing. It's not, in my opinion, I don't think this relationship's over. I don't think that this is a long time out, but I think that Rebecca needs to cool down and for Jack to really wrap his mind around what this drinking has just done. It's so much bigger because it's not about Rebecca going on this band trip. I mean, the moment that the guy tried to kiss her, she was done.
Yeah, that
it's
was it.
Not about infidelity between these two. Mm-hmm. It is about Jack with his drinking.
And see, this is why I think the show did so many things well, mm-hmm. and then also so many things so poorly. Like, you know, I know that people weren't entirely on board with the episode, and with every right, because, you know, they set you up to find out that Jack was going to die and how he was going to die. And they did nothing with it. They just gave you the freedom rocket and mm-hmm. said, sorry, your problem, not mine. But narratively, I feel like this feels like a finale to me. They couldn't have Jack die last episode, and really they couldn't have him die this episode.
Oh, no, no.
They spent too much emotional equity on William's death in Memphis.
Correct.
And that was deserving. I think that was perfectly fine.
Correct.
Because of that, they couldn't do what everybody wanted them to do. And narratively, I feel like this is fine because in terms of the characters of Rebecca and Jack, mm-hmm. they've gone from the beginning of the season to now through a completely natural arc. I mean, showing how they met and also how the effects of a marriage can potentially end their marriage, their relationship. It's a good arc, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And spending all of that time with Jack and Rebecca is similar to Memphis, and what made Memphis
yes.
so freaking good. Yes. And because it's good because while they aren't good that right now, we have that monologue from Jack that he reassures us that this is just the beginning. It's not the end of the show. It's not the finale of the show. The death of Jack isn't what's most important. We've said this before. Mm-hmm. It's their story. It's yes. getting there. How do we get there? What's most important about getting there? It's just the beginning. And I kind of like that idea because they subverted all of our expectations. You know me. I'm all about subversion. Tell me mm-hmm. one thing and then say, F it. I'm doing a completely other thing.
You know what Jack did?
What's that?
He talked about their mountain today.
What do you mean?
We had our mountain talk today.
Oh, yes. Yes,
we're just going to give you a second story time because, heck, we're doing this on Facebook Live. Blake was talking about how some things in our life have been a tornado and how hard it's been. And I said, nope, I don't see it as a tornado. I see it that we climbed a mountain together.
Right.
And I'm proud of it. And I want to put a big old bumper sticker on my butt being like, I did this. I owned it. I grew from it. Mm-hmm. So don't see things and fights as tornadoes. Don't see this fight as something bad. You know, Jack's saying like, this is just the beginning.
Right.
And I wanted to... Today I was like, oh, Jack would have said they climbed a mountain.
And that climbing of the mountain and that subversion, that whole thing of telling you this isn't the end, this is the beginning, it works, except for the fact that the show lied to you in the previous episode.
We're just going to forget that drunk driving.
But that lying is not like the premiere where it was just camera wizardry. You know how like they, mm-hmm. you didn't realize that it was a show in the past. But it told you right up front. This show was set in the past.
Yes.
It showed you the vacuum cleaner. I love that kind of stuff because it rewards the viewer for paying attention. Mm-hmm. But the final edit that we have been harping on is misleading, I think, for the sake of being misleading. To add faux drama, just the way that the faux drama happened in the similar vein of the Duke and the Toby and the Kate.
Yeah. So what are you thinking is faux drama?
Kate saying, this is my fault.
No.
And no. And then having Jack drive off and the thing being drunk. That's all faux drama. That is the show that's when the show is lying to you. And that is what causes problems with me.
But we've moved on, Blake. That was last episode.
Well, I know. And here, and this is the problem with this episode is that with Jack and Rebecca, I think what the writers wanted to do was continue to deconstruct Jack, that whole myth. Remember how we talked about the legend of Jack Pearson?
Yep.
They wanted to deconstruct him and show you that he is an actual person. And I think they wanted us to be angry with him the way that Rebecca is at the end of the episode. I mean, he's drunk driving. He's punching Ben. He's ruining the gig for Rebecca. It's
whatevs.
The eventual fight where Jack doesn't see what Rebecca is giving up for her family. She has done a lot. Mm-hmm. She gave up her entire being, really, for her family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that it isn't natural to her. You know, Jack fell madly in love with Rebecca. We still don't know necessarily how Rebecca fell in love with Jack. She just was singing, and that's that. Wanting kids, didn't want them, but eventually gave in. So Rebecca has given up a lot. And then it even goes to showing us that he wasn't sleeping at the door like he did at the beginning of the season. But the message I think that the writers are sending in their writing is much like real life. It's messy.
Yep.
And it's a bunch of mixed messages. I mean, Ben trying to kiss Rebecca, it proves Jack right.
Mm-hmm.
And
he had the feeling. You never have to watch out for your partner. You gotta watch for all the other people after your partner.
Rebecca kicking Jack out, even though he knew he did something messed up and owned up to it and said what he said. And then telling her that the whole love story is their beginning and only to have Jack try to fix it. At the end, the whole tone of the episode with his fantastic monologue and how it's a new beginning, it's all very confusing.
Oh, because, I find it real.
No, it's real, but it's confusing. Okay. And I'm speaking narratively because you don't know who you're rooting for both of them, but they're both fighting and you can't pick a side, really. You can't say Jack is wrong and she's right or she's wrong and he's right. And I think it wants you to be angry with him, but I feel bad for him. Do you
feel
bad
for both? I just feel bad for both. I feel like I was in that fight with them. And so I just feel bad for both because I think they're both flawed. And that's why we love them, because there's so many aspects of these characters that you can relate to. And we fight. That's what we do as humans. We fight. We're different beings. And they both messed up.
Right.
But Jack messed up a little bit more.
Do you like the fact that Jack messed up? And do you like the fact that do you like the fact that it went down the path that it did and focusing really primarily on Jack?
I don't know what you mean. I don't like that he messed up.
No,
that
but I mean,
me
just the episode choice. Like, do you think that this was a finale or was this an episode that should have happened earlier in the season?
Okay. I think it was finale for Jack and Rebecca. In their story.
Right.
I think, yes, because his whole family is because of them. So for us to see how they met and for us to see probably what is one of their biggest fights, if not their biggest fight, to really give that 360 perspective of this main character that created this family, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I did. Did it feel like the boom of a finale, like how much I cried in Memphis? No.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, it was a good bookend. And right. I'm ready to start season two.
It's a tonally dark ending, except for the fact that they try to save the whole tone at the end
with
Jack's monologue.
Yeah, which I think they did for me. I've always said Jack is very hopeful. Jack is very optimistic. And he is someone that, you know, he tells her, he's like, this is just the beginning. So I'm not fearful that by him going out of the house, that that's the end.
I don't know if this is going to be the end of Rebecca and Jack.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this is going to go as well. Like Luke says in The Last Jedi, it's not going to go the way we think it's going to go.
Oh, I'm hopeful.
I don't know. I think it's going to be...
And he's going to die soon. Can we just admit that?
He's croaking. And that's another thing, too. Like, how can you go through this whole episode. And,
you're asking me?
Yeah,
how
well, I think the royal we, okay? But yes, you, sure.
Sure, okay.
How can you go through the whole episode and have the repercussions and the feelings that are needed to translate all of this into your own feelings, knowing that he croaks later on? And he's going to croak pretty soon.
Pretty dang soon. I hope not at Miggy's. I don't know. I think that's why I think it felt like a good, that's what made it more season finale, is that they had this fight. He's telling her, I still love you. This is just the beginning. And it pains me. It's like that bittersweet, like, look at him still loving on his wife. And we, as the viewers, know the end is near.
Right.
That I'm glad he didn't leave it like, yeah, whatever. We'll see about that. I'm going to go drink some more. Like, he didn't stay in that way. He tried to make as much amends as he could.
Yep.
And I feel like that if he dies on his drive to Miguel's house, that he'll die with a happy conscience, knowing that he told his wife that he loved her.
He's not dying then.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying, is that that's why I feel like it's a fine finale. Without him dying, I felt like, oh, okay. Like, it's going to be all right.
Gotcha.
Even though you don't. But then again, I'm the optimist.
All right, final thoughts on the season in general. What did you think for season one on the whole?
For season one on a whole, I fell in love with all of these characters. I love how in each episode I feel something different for someone else, or I can see a friend in someone else's story or pain or joy. I'm really happy that we began podcasting about this season. I am very selfishly happy that I did not have to watch it real time, because if I had to now wait between season one and season two without knowing all these other things that we're about to know pretty darn soon, it would have been really hard. So for all of you who did it real time, my heart goes out to you. That off season must have been really,
that
really
would
hard.
Have been tough.
Because I really do. I believe that we're going to see Jack die. I know we're going to fill in those puzzle pieces in season two. I really have faith in that. I don't think they can stretch it out till season three. So I'm looking forward to figuring this all out really soon. So binge watching is in my favor.
And for myself, I enjoyed season one. I think it was B+ overall.
You're a harsh critic. I would give it an A.
I would say B+.
Okay.
I think it did a lot of good things. I think some things happened that are very clearly emotionally manipulative. And I'm okay with being manipulated, but I don't want you to be like...
I think you're letting the couple of things that you didn't like Duke and the drunk driving, bother you a little too much.
I don't want to be overt. Like, don't manipulate me and then punch me in the face. Like, just manipulate me and then send me on my way. You know what I mean?
I think you need a snack.
Yeah, probably. I'm probably a little hungry right now.
Yeah, I think so. Because think of all of the tears that you've shed watching this show.
Well, that's one of the things that I wanted, like the big day. And Jack Pearson's son and Memphis, those, especially Memphis,
mm-hmm.
like genuinely a great episode of television. Like, what you look back and you're like, wow, that I understand what this show is capable of doing. And I get it. I think the show is quite good. The characters are, I think they're filled out. I think you can describe them and understand them and feel for them.
Yeah.
I think the writing is pretty good. The direction is fantastic.
Beautiful.
So a good,
you know what?
Solid B+.
I would want higher than that, but I'll be okay with you until you eat. And then after that, you'll say, it was actually an A-.
All right, my love. Are you ready to close this bad boy out?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. And you know what? Let's even do it with a little special treat from a Mandy Moore album that debuted all the way back in 2003.
So we want to give you all a really big thank you for taking the time to listen to this show, to share it. Remember, one of the best ways that you can share this episode is actually screenshotting your podcast app and sharing that in your Instagram stories or your Facebook stories. It's just a fun, hip way to let y'all friends know about the podcast and that you're listening to it. We want to also give a big thanks to Becky0976, who on iTunes said, "I'm loving rewatching This Is Us episode by episode with Mary and Blake. They both have great things to say and make you think about the episodes, and their chemistry together makes it great to listen along." Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. And if you're wondering, yes, we are going to finish season two in time for season three.
It's going to be really we're coming down to the wire.
That's right. And as we get closer, please, please, please let more people know about this podcast, because we're going to be watching it real time with you when it comes to season three.
Right. And the hope for season three is that we'll be able to get all of your feedback into our show as well. Mary and I, as podcasters, are extremely inclusive. What we want is your voice is just as important as our voice. We're just two jabronis with microphones in front of our face. And
that's it.
In our basement.
Drinking Dunkin' Donuts.
Cookie dough.
Dunkin'. There you go.
This episode brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. please do give us your feedback. Once season three starts, you will be as much of a part of the show as us.
Well, for now, that's about it. So my name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is Us Too. My teeth, north and south, is divided.